Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen-Coop.
Hello, and welcome to the Building a Better World podcast. My name is Sean Clausen-Coop, and welcome to episode number 21. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope you're having a great day, and I hope that you continue having a great day. In the last episode, I talked about black water, and that is the nutrients that are being flushed down our drains through our toilets, and what we can do with those nutrients to keep them on our land and in our systems, but in a way that deals with all of the hazards associated with that and tries to make it a pleasant experience for everyone involved. In this episode, I'm going to change tactics a little bit, and instead of talking about something that we can each do individually, I'm going to take the broader picture and talk about how could this look on a very large scale. How could this look on 20,000 acres? So I have a lot of fun thinking about this kind of topic, and I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But before I get into the topic, I just want to thank everyone who has subscribed to the show. It tells all of the places where the podcast is listed that people want to hear what is in this particular podcast. And so hopefully they will show it to others and help spread these ideas even further. Thanks also if you have taken the time to leave a review. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. If you leave a review on whichever podcast medium you like to listen through, it really helps, again, help other people know if this is something for them. So if you haven't done that, I'd appreciate if you would spend just a minute or two to write a review, let me know what you think of the podcast, and let others know what you think of the podcast. All right, so how would permaculture work on 20,000 acres? That's the topic of this podcast, and there's going to be so many different ways that it could work, and I'm going to talk about kind of one way that it could work. First off, just if you're wondering what 20,000 acres looks like, it'd be 31 and a quarter square miles. So it is a large amount of space. Most of the places you can get this amount of land, and by if you can get, I mean if you have a huge, ginormous amount of money, you're going to have some mountains and some valleys. Usually there aren't huge parcels of land like this available elsewhere. But you're going to have some mountains and valleys. And the conventional approach to dealing with this is that you're going to put cattle or maybe some other animals on the mountains. And then you're going to drain the swamps and use that for cropland. And you're going to have a huge investment, startup investment of millions of dollars in terms of infrastructure and equipment. And that's going to be grain bins and tractors and sprayers and maybe seed drills and all sorts of equipment. And then on top of that, you have your infrastructure, your irrigation in some areas. And then in addition, you get the humongous annual costs associated with conventional agriculture. And so you're paying annually for petroleum-based fertilizer, petroleum-based pesticide, petroleum-based fuel. You get the picture. Lots of petroleum-based stuff. And in such a system, if you're starting off with raw land, you're going to need a bunch of people to convert the raw land into quote-unquote productive land. And so you might need 20 to 40 people involved. And once the system is fully operational, you're going to have maybe 3 to 9 different crops being produced en masse and being sold into the commodity markets. And if you're working this system, you're probably still going to need to go to the grocery store because those 3 to 9 different crops are not going to be enough to feed you. And then you get to spend most of your day working with loud, smelly, stinky machinery. And that's not exactly my idea of a fun time, but maybe some people are into that. And so the question is, what would it look like if we had a piece of land like this? And what would we do with permaculture? What could we do with permaculture? And I believe this question came up because Paul Wheaton, my co-author, actually received this question from somebody who was actively managing 20,000 acres. So I think the first step in managing this land is going to be dividing up the land into 100 different pieces. So now you have 100 pieces, and each of them are about 200 acres. And on each chunk, let's call it, you're going to put 10 to 30 people, and you're going to have one person in charge of each chunk. And now, instead of just having a monocrop or a few monocrops distributed over this huge amount of land, we're going to try and have a massive polyculture that spans 20,000 acres, and you're going to have dozens and dozens and dozens of species of plants, and you're going to have multiple kinds of animals involved in the system as well. And instead of having one person, say, you know, one beekeeper managing 10,000 hives across the whole 20,000 acres, there'll be maybe 500 people managing just a couple of hives each. And each person will, instead of just focusing on one thing, will focus on a bunch of different things. And so that will allow people to experience more of the bigger picture and be involved in different ways, which I think in general is something that a lot of people are interested in. Setting up a system like this would also take some time to get going. In a conventional system, you're going to have to clear the land. In a permaculture system, it's also going to take some time to clear the land and get the perennial systems established. And the goal, I think, in this kind of system is that you're going to start by trying to feed the people first. And I think after a decade, both systems are going to be producing on all 20,000 acres. But with the permaculture system, you can have 2,000 people living on the land and all being fed off of the land. And because you have 2,000 people managing the land way more intensively than you can with a couple people managing with large machines, there's going to be plenty of food left over to sell. And so playing the commodity marketing game, there's an opportunity to have a lot of material going into the commodity markets still. And instead of 3 to 9 different crops, there's the opportunity to have over 100 different products, which provides for a much more stable situation. You know, if a couple crops do bad in a year because maybe it was a dry year or something like that, then you're still going to have other products that are taking up the slack, and you're going to have a much more stable income. And one of the things that I think is a huge draw for this kind of system is that I think one of the biggest problems faced by most farmers, most small-scale farmers especially, is that they got into what they're doing because they want to have a wonderful relationship with the land, and they love farming and working outside with plants and animals and stuff like that. But they don't really want to deal with marketing. And they'd rather just not have to deal with that. And as a result, a lot of farmers have rather poor marketing skills. But if you have a multi-million dollar to 20,000 acre permaculture business, you could probably afford to hire a marketer to take the load off of all the people who don't actually want to do it. And so that provides the opportunity to be competitive even in the commodity field. But when you think about having 2,000 people around, there's a lot more opportunities than that to value add and to have different income streams. And that could be things like ecotourism, or furniture, or, you know, processed food, like not overly processed food, but like processing food. And you can, in general, have a whole lot more involved because you have more people and you have just a greater diversity of source products to work with. And so I think there's an opportunity to make way more money in the long run with this sort of system. But there's going to be also, with this sort of system, there's a huge amount of startup costs. And instead of investing mostly in equipment and in farm-based infrastructure, you're going to be investing mostly into housing and into people. And, you know, having the people there to do the work. And in the short term, there's going to be a lot of work in that. And in the long term, though, the ongoing costs, there won't be petroleum-based fertilizer. There won't be petroleum-based pesticides. There won't be nearly as much fuel being used in this kind of system. And so a lot of the ongoing costs of a conventional system will be eliminated. And so rather than pouring our money into petroleum and degrading our landscape and, you know, having tight margins, we could potentially invest our money into people instead. And in such a system, we can invest the money into people in a way that grows ecosystem abundance and provides a really stable income for people and a life that's enjoyable, living out maybe in a little forest or something like that, I think is much more enticing to the average person than being out on a dusty farm, a conventional farm. And so this is a topic that I decided to do a podcast on, not because most of the people listening to it have 20,000 acres. I don't have 20,000 acres. I don't have $100 million either in order to do this. But it shows that even on a large scale, there are solutions that could work with nature and help people and very much make a significant impact for the environment. And maybe there are some people out there who are interested in giving this kind of thing a shot, and I'd be really curious to see how it works. And the hope here is to say that, look, there is a way that this could make a huge impact if we would try and take this approach. And so it works really well on a small scale if you just have your own homestead, even up to a huge amount of land. There are great things that we can do with permaculture, and that might look a little bit different depending on who's implementing it, but there's definitely a lot of opportunity there. So I hope you enjoyed this and maybe got you thinking about what you would do if you were magically given 20,000 acres. I know I had a lot of fun thinking about it. This, for me, was actually my favorite chapter to write in the book and one of the most thought-provoking ones. And yeah, I just want to leave that with you to get your mind thinking. That's all that I want to talk about in this episode. In the next episode, I want to talk about a method for building that can potentially completely eliminate our need for heating, even in a very cold climate. And so I hope you're interested by that idea, and I look forward to that in the next episode. In the meantime, if you're interested in all of these sorts of things, please feel free to check out more about the book if you haven't already. You can do so at buildingabetterworldbook.com. There's a little bit more info there. And I would appreciate if you would pick that up if you're interested. It helps me and hopefully helps the world too. That's all for today. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.